she was finished, but instead she was heard on the other end calling James an expletive and ranting about how horrible it would be if he unseated the Democratic incumbent Senator Debbie Stabenow. She lost her job, and it appears her LinkedIn and Facebook pages have both since disappeared. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Utah Mayor and Army National Guard Major Brent Taylor was killed in Afghanistan on Saturday. He was overseas protecting Afghan people who were voting. His wife said it was only fitting he arrived back home in the United States on Election Day. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Recapping one of our top stories, voters across the country are casting their ballot to decide the balance of power in Congress between Democrats and Republicans. There's been a lot of talk of a blue wave. Well, Dan Senior served as an advisor to the Romney-Ryan presidential campaign in 2012. He joined CBS this morning to talk about exactly what would be a good win for both the Democrats and what would be a good win for the Republicans.
A wave is when every close race breaks in one direction. And right now, the way House Republican leaders see it is there's basically three categories of House races, all right? There are the races, there are the seats that Obama won and Hillary won. So take Carlos Cabello, Florida 26, in southern Florida. You know, they won by big, they won that district, both of them. Hillary and Obama and Clinton won them by big numbers. If the Republican wins that seat, early sign of a wave. Kentucky, on the other end, which Trump won and Romney won, 2012-2016, Andy Barr in that district, Kentucky 6. If the Democrats win that seat, early sign of a wave. And then in the middle is a seat like seats in New York, like New York 19, John Faso, who's defending his seat. Obama won it once, and then Trump won it, both about 6% each. So if you get, those are like three categories of races, an Obama-Clinton seat that a Republican is holding, an Obama-Trump seat that a Republican is holding, and then a Romney-Trump seat that a Republican is holding. If they all go, we got a wave. And all those states, Kentucky, Florida, New York, we'll learn about early.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. United American Patriots support our brave troops who, for wildly inappropriate reasons, have been charged for murder by our military because they shot the enemy in combat. That sounds crazy, but it's true. Check their website, uap.org. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by reviewing an amazing story of a rescue in Vietnam, Saving Bravo. Then we'll learn about the fantastic role of the Veterans Airlift Command and what it's doing for vets today. We'll cover last week's Service Academy football games. And naturally, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show author Stephen Talty. He's the author of Saving Bravo, an amazing rescue that took place in Vietnam. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Stephen, tell us a bit about your background and how you decided that you were going to write about this. How did you learn about this, and how did you decide to write about it?
You know, I've written a bunch of books, and the theme seems to be sort of one man against impossible odds. I wrote a book about the Dalai Lama escaping from Tibet, and I wrote a book about the pirate Henry Morgan fighting against the Spanish Empire. So I guess there is sort of a through line there in my career. And I just was reading some military history, which I tend to do, and I came across one or two sentences about this rescue mission in Vietnam in 1972, in which 11 men died to get one soldier back. And that just caught my attention. I was 8 years old in 1972. I remember watching the newscasts about the war and hearing soldiers being called mercenaries and terrible things happening to them when they came back. So, you know, this idea that Vietnam was a war without heroes was really prevalent when I was growing up. So to hear this story about this incredible self-sacrifice and courage that these men displayed sort of went against the narrative that I had learned. So I started looking into it, calling up families of the guys who didn't make it back, and actually found some survivors of the mission. And really, I went from there.
So that's how it happened. This was obviously really classified. I presume at least some of it was unclassified by the time you got to it. But you found some people who actually lived it, right?
I sure did. There were two guys who were taken prisoner and ended up in North Vietnamese prisons, and they spent about a year there, and they came back. Both of them I interviewed. And then just guys who were there on the periphery or actually involved in the rescue. And then I found Gene Hamilton. He was the guy who was shot down, the navigator for the Air Force. And he had left behind an unpublished manuscript, a memoir of this adventure. And it had all kinds of new details and new kind of emotions about what he'd gone through. So the family gave me that, and I use that extensively in my books. I really wanted to write the definitive version of this rescue. I mean, there'd been a movie called Bat 21 before, starring Gene Hackman, but when I looked at that, I thought it was heavily fictionalized. So I really wanted to get to the true story of what happened.
Yeah, typically when something's made into a movie, it's made for entertainment. It is not a documentary. And that adds fiction, and I don't care how much they try to make it. If it's not a documentary, then it's not a documentary, and some of them are less so than others. So I certainly understand that. The title of the book is Saving Bravo. Where did Bravo come from?
Bravo was Hamilton's code name. He was navigator. He was the number two man, so pilot would have been Alpha, and he was Bravo. So he was Bat 21 Bravo. Bat 21 was the name of the plane. So, you know, that was sort of his code name for the day. and they used it in the rescue. I mean, they would call him Bravo when the forward air controller was calling down to him. So I just thought it would be appropriate to use in the book.
Sure. Makes sense. And as much of the story as I recollect, he, in addition to being a navigator, was really into some serious background, top secret classified information about what we were doing and what the bad guys were doing. And that's why he was suddenly so important to get back. Do I have that right?
That's exactly right. So he'd been in the Air Force almost 30 years. He'd done his time in Strategic Air Command. And, of course, SAC was in charge of a lot of our nuclear arsenal. So he'd been briefed on, for instance, where our nuclear missiles were aimed inside the Soviet Union. So which targets, what kind of warheads they were going to receive. And that would have been really valuable information for the Soviet leadership had he fallen into enemy hands in Vietnam. And then he'd also been through five or six generations of radar technology. He was a navigator, and he was in Vietnam in a sort of electronics countermeasures plane, kind of trying to locate the SAM missile sites and defeat them before they sent their missiles up to the B-52. So, you know, he had a lot of sort of technology background, certainly been briefed on things that were highly classified, and just would have been a valuable asset, not only in the Vietnam War, but we're really talking about the Cold War.
Because, yes. Yes.
The Soviets had teams in Vietnam that, you know, an advanced American plane went down. They would send a team out to try to scoop up as much of the components and send them back to Moscow. And then a year or two later, we would see that their missiles or their radars had improved dramatically because they were imitating the schematics of what they'd found on the ground. So that applied to technology, but that also applied to personnel. If they got a guy who knew about radar or knew about, you know, counter-surveillance, they would have interrogated him, possibly tortured him. So, yeah, he's a special kind of a guy.
Indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the book Saving Bravo with author Stephen Talty. Stephen, the book is amazing, and it talks about all of this stuff. And what you're saying is absolutely true. I'm a Vietnam vet. I wasn't there in the 70s. I also know the Cold War. And, yes, the Russians would have taken him if he'd been taken prisoner. And who knows what they'd have got out of him or what they would have done to him. But certainly a whole lot would have been compromised. And as a result of that, and this is really the story, we, the American military, decided we're going to save him no matter what and started sending teams in to try to get him, right?
Yeah, they sure did. And, you know, Gene Hamilton was shot down, and he went down in the middle of the Easter Offensive. I don't know if you remember that, but that's April 1972. North Vietnam decides to try and launch kind of a last-ditch effort to break Richard Nixon's policy of Vietnamization, try to humiliate the South Vietnamese government, and win the negotiating rounds and get a better deal for themselves. So they threw 30,000 troops, Soviet tanks, Soviet artillery, AAA, SAM missiles, and Gene Hamilton gets shot down right in the middle of all that. So we're sort of going into a situation we don't expect. Gene Hamilton expected to be out of that jungle by the next morning. This was, you know, it was a standard kind of rescue. You go in with two rescue helicopters, fighter planes to take out the AAA, you blast them out, and they swoop in and get you. It's been done dozens and dozens of times in Vietnam before this. But what changed everything, the variable, was that invasion force.
Yeah. All of a sudden, everything has changed. And folks, if you want to know how it changed, you're going to have to get the book. How can people get books? I presume it's available everywhere, Amazon, places like that?
Yep. Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's pretty much everywhere right now.
Pretty easy title to remember, Saving Bravo. And wow, was this multiple-phased rescue mission amazing. Stephen, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your great story of bravery in combat. That's the kind of thing that we need to continue to recognize and honor. I really appreciate you taking time today.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll learn about the amazing Veterans Airlift Command. Then we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football game, You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, hit the deck right now and rest. The starting position for the push-up is called the front lean rest. Get into the front lean rest position and think patriotic thoughts and stay there till I return. I want you lean and mean. On Sunday, November 11 and Monday, November 12, 2018, each of Spartan Ash's retail stores in 8 states will offer an 11% discount to current members and veterans of the armed forces. All active duty, reserve, National Guard, and veterans who present proper identification at any Spartan Ash corporate-owned store on November 11 or November 12 will receive a discount as a token of our appreciation and respect.
At Spartan Ash, we are honored to show our appreciation to these men and women.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, you're about to learn about an amazing outfit that really helps veterans today, Veterans Airlift Command. Walt Fricke runs the outfit. We met at the Oshkosh Air Venture last July. So, welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Walt.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Walt, what's your background? I know that you're an Army aviator. How did you get the vision for this? Talk about your background and how the vision for Veterans Airlift came to be.
Sure. As a kid, I was in love with aviation and flying, and ended up in the Army, you know, high school to flight school during Vietnam, and ended up flying helicopters in Vietnam. Was severely wounded when I was in Vietnam. I've been there about 8 months, and I was flying helicopter gunships when one of the rockets that we had fired during a combat assault exploded outside the cockpit, and the shrapnel severed my foot, pretty much took it off. My foot landed in my lap. So that ended my career as an Army helicopter pilot. But I was medevaced back to through Japan, a couple weeks in Japan, and then Alaska, Scott Air Force Base, finally ended up at Fort Knox, Kentucky, in the hospital that was closest to home, about 700 miles away from my hometown up in northern Michigan. And it took about 6 weeks before my family could gather the resources to come and see me in the hospital, which was a pretty painful 6 weeks because I was going through a lot. You know, you, when you're going full fight or flight, flying combat assaults in helicopters and gunships every day, 10 hours a day, the bang, you're laying flat on your back in a hospital bed. You're 19 years old, long way from home, nobody there to tell you you're going to be okay. You know, it was kind of a stressful time for me. So fast forward 40 years, I guess, when I retired early from business, I had an airplane. And I thought, you know, I could solve that problem for somebody. I'll start flying guys from the Veterans Hospital or bring their families to see them because I know what it's like to be, you know, I know that having the family there really cranks up the healing process. So I thought I would start a service with my airplane, and a friend of mine challenged me, said, that's too good of an idea to keep to yourself. You need to stand up a national organization to do this and recruit volunteers nationwide because I think, you know, people would want to do it. And I thought, well, maybe that's what I should do. I ran a last job was running a foundation for General Motors. I started and ran the Home Ownership Preservation Foundation for it. So I knew how to do that, being an entrepreneur kind of by nature. So that's what I did. I stood up an organization, funded it out of my pocket, and started recruiting pilots. I actually built that website. And I had the vision and how I was going to operate the thing. And so built out the website to make it happen so we could make it scalable without adding a lot of overhead, a lot of people. I wanted to keep it pretty simple. And I'd invested in all that, kind of on the hopes that it would happen. And we got a call from the DOD. They knew me from a previous work I'd done with them on a previous foundation, that they had a young Marine up in Camp Lejeune who had flown up to get his combat badge and Purple Heart when his unit got back from Iraq. And someone had bought him a frequent flyer ticket. He went from Melbourne, Florida to Atlanta to Birmingham, Alabama to Charlotte, North Carolina, Jacksonville, South Carolina, or Jacksonville, North Carolina, wherever Camp Lejeune is. And it took him 13 hours to get there. And he's schlepping a wheelchair. He's got crutches. You know, he can't stand for very long. He can't sit for very long. He's in a lot of pain. And 13 hours in airports just did him in. He was exhausted. Didn't even feel like going to the ceremony. And they called, DOD called, and said, there's got to be a better way. Are you ready to go yet? And I hadn't recruited my first pilot. And so I knew guys with airplanes in South Georgia and North Florida, and he needed to get home then from this event. And so I emailed six friends that had airplanes, described what we needed, and four of them said they would do the trip the next day. And I thought, holy smokes, I think this thing has legs. You know, if I got that kind of response from people who had no idea what I was doing, but would offer to fly this kid home the next day, I got a feeling this thing has legs and it'll fly. And it did. I mean, that was our very first mission, the very first day. It was November 6th, I believe, in 2006. And we've been going strong ever since. I think we've flown 16,000 passengers. We got 2,600 volunteer aircraft owners and pilots, flown almost 10 million miles worth of missions.
Wow.
And raised, you know, and the in-kind value of those in private jets and turboprops and stuff is pushing $35 million. That people donate. They donate their airplanes, donate the fuel, the flight crew time, the, you know, everything. We just schedule it. We get the request from a post 9/11 combat wounded guy. We put it on our network, and we blast out an email to 100 guys along the route of flight. Somebody picks up the trip, says, we'll do it. And they go pick him up, take him where he needs to go. And, you know, we started out taking guys from the hospitals home or bringing their families to see him at the hospitals. Now the hospitals are no longer full like they were in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10. But some of these guys need travel assistance for life. You know, they got prosthetics.
Yeah.
The TS is not a friendly, you know, they have these, they have a program where you can call an 800 number and a TSA agent will meet out at the street and walk you to the front of the line. But then you get abused just like everybody else once you get in line.
Yep.
And these guys get abused more than anyone because they make them take off prosthetics. It's humiliating. So a lot of guys won't even fly anymore. So when they need guys with prosthetics, you know, if they're combat wounded, they call us. We find somebody who'd love to take them, get to know them. The people that do this are signing a thank you note with their airplane, and they're thrilled to be able to engage one-on-one with the guy that provided them with the very freedom they have to fly.
Wow. What a story. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. We're discussing the Veteran Airlift Command with Walt Fricke. So, Walt, if there's listeners that want to participate, want to get help, want to get involved, how do they get in touch with you guys?
Veteransairlift.org. And if you go on that, yeah, there's a video right on the front page who kind of explains what we do and what's behind it, that sort of thing. And then a couple of tabs. If you're a pilot, an aviator, and you want to register your airplane, you can hit that tab and register your airplane in less time than it takes to file a short flight plan. And if you're a post 9/11 combat wounded and you need to travel for medical or other compassionate purposes, and that's a pretty wide description. You know, we take people home to funerals. We take people to weddings of their battle buddies. It's pretty wide description of the reasons that we fly. So the veteran can put in a trip request, and we're high on compassion, low on red tape. And we'll pick up the phone right away and respond back to them and tell them how this works, and it's easy. There's no paperwork. They don't have to fax CD214s or any of that stuff. It's just because, you know, if they're combat wounded, you can Google somebody's name in their hometown, and you find out, yeah, they're for real. Truth is, because we've flown 16,000 passengers since we started this, we know a lot of our passengers already. We've already got the story.
That makes sense. I bet you could use donations, money, to help keep this going. Is that right?
Well, there's also a place on our website where you can donate to support. You know, our biggest thing is finding the combat wounded vets that don't know about us. That's the big thing for us. And finding new volunteers to fly for us. Donations are great. In fact, we're starting a campaign right now. We're about halfway there to create an endowment so that the Veterans Airlift Command, because we're very low overhead. 97% of every dollar comes through here goes right straight to the mission. So it's not like we don't even have an office. We operate off iPhones and laptops. We've got a staff of four, including myself. So three mission coordinators, one of which is the executive director. We don't even have an office. I mean, we're a highly rated 501c3, but we do not spend money on stuff that's not related to the mission. Donations are very well, they're looked after. In fact, we've done well. We have good supporters and sponsors, and our goal right now is to create an endowment so that this thing goes on in perpetuity. As you know, Denny, the support for veterans ebbs and flows in this country. Forever. And we want this to be here when it flows. And right now, we're about halfway there, but an endowment, I'm looking for a few people to come alongside and help endow this thing so that it goes for in perpetuity, because we know what the overhead's going to be. We've got a scalable platform. We've got the network of volunteers. We know how to get volunteers when we need them. And so that's our objective right now, over the next few years, is to create this endowment so that we don't even have to worry about raising money.
That's awesome. Walt, that's such a great story. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation when you're on active duty. Thank you for the wonderful work you're doing and Veterans Airlift Command is doing for our vets. I'm proud to call you brother.
Well, they're worth it.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll discuss last week's Service Academy football games. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. Online, on your time. Visit Citadel.com. .edu/online.
United American Patriots defends U.S. service members who are wrongfully accused of a crime in combat. This includes providing resources for legal representation during investigations, court martials, the funding of experts, post-trial clemency and hearings, appeals, providing stipends during incarceration, funding family member travel, and facilitating reintegration into civilian society upon release from incarceration. Check unitedpatriots.org.
USA Radio News.
Pipe bomb suspect Cesar Sayak made his first appearance in a federal court in Manhattan today. Sayak will be held without bond and faces 50 years in prison if convicted. Sayak's lawyers have questioned the evidence in the case. As voters head to the polls today, we're hearing about long lines, malfunctioning machines, and polling places not being ready or properly staffed. After initially predicting a blue wave, some analysts have backed off those expectations. Former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta joined Fox News and has some advice for the Democrats.
If the Democrats do take control of the House, I think it would behoove them to try to see if there are not some areas that they can work out some compromises with the president in order to get some things done. I think that's what the American people really want.
Jury selection resumed today in the trial of Mexican drug lord El Chapo. A federal judge in New York dismissed 17 potential jurors. This is USA Radio News.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, folks. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Spartan Nash, and their military division, MDV. Spartan Nash is a Fortune 400 company and the fifth largest food distributor in our great country. They've been honored as a veteran-friendly employer with over 800 associates self-reporting as veterans, guardsmen, or reserves. MDV is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world. And in 2017, they were selected by the Defense Commissary Agency to be the exclusive supplier of the Freedom's Choice and Homebase brands in commissaries. Learn more or check out career opportunities at SpartanNash.com. Troops, it is football season, if you didn't know, and it's Service Academy football time on this show. And joining me now, of course, is football co-host Quentin Roberts. What's up, dude?
Hey, Denny, how you doing today?
Hey, I wouldn't trade today for a day in Paris. Life is good. I love the fall. I absolutely love the fall.
Beautiful time of the year. I agree with you. It's one of my favorites.
And I particularly enjoy it when I can start our conversation by saying that Army won over Eastern Michigan 37-22 and now is 6 wins and 2 losses. I'm sort of happy about that.
I'll tell you what, Denny. Jeff Monken has the program on an absolute roll, and you're right. The Black Knights moved to 6-2 with a victory over the Eastern Michigan Eagles in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and in doing so, Army clinched a third straight year of bowl eligibility, and it was a total team game, offensively, defensively, and special teams in this victory. Army's defense held the Eagles without a single first down in the first half of the game, and in the meantime, the offense was rolling along with typical Army efficiency as they scored 3 field goals by John Abercrombie and then a touchdown on their fourth first half possession to take a 16-0 lead into the half. Now, in the second half, the Eagles did not go away. As a matter of fact, they began to close the deficit by scoring 14 points out of halftime to reduce the deficit to 2 points, 16-14, as their quarterback began to heat up Tyler Wiggers. He threw 2 touchdown passes to Matthew Sexton and one to Blake Banham in the third quarter. But the Black Knights responded. On their next 3 possessions, they scored on a 10-play drive with Kelvin Hopkins throwing a pass to Jordan Asbury for a 26-yard touchdown pass. The defense then caused and recovered a fumble, and the offense again took advantage of it with another long touchdown drive, ending in another touchdown pass by Kelvin Hopkins, a 2-yard touchdown pass, and the Black Knights were able to then close out the game with that decisive stretch of possession, 37-22. When we look at the key stats of the game, boy, Army just really rolled. 415 yards of total offense. Really, 289 rushing yards, which is a little lower than what they usually have, but 126 of passing yardage, which I'm sure will bode very well in their next week's game against the Air Force. They also dominated time of possession, 45 minutes to only 14 for Eastern Michigan, another key statistic. And they won the turnover battle 1-0 as well. So Army had zero turnovers, and Eastern Michigan had one. Game balls! Oh, how about Kelvin Hopkins, the junior quarterback, was 7 out of 8 for 126 yards and 2 touchdowns, and also ran the ball 23 times for 100 yards. Jordan Asbury, the senior slot back from Cincinnati, Ohio, had 1 touchdown catch and 1 on the ground. And defensively, Cole Christensen, the junior linebacker from Suffolk, Virginia, had 6 tackles, including 1 sack. And on special teams, John Abercrombie, the senior kicker from Phoenix, Arizona, is 5 for 5 on the season and was 3 for 3 in this game as he opened the scoring for the Black Knights against the Eastern Michigan Eagles. So that was a great victory for our Black Knights, Denny, in the game against Eastern Michigan.
It sure was. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts. Navy lost to Notre Dame 44-22. They played in San Diego. That hurt, but Notre Dame's a pretty good team, so it wasn't too big a surprise that they didn't win. At least it wasn't to me.
Well, the midshipmen were huge underdogs going into the game against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who moved to 8-0 and I think ranked 4th in the latest poll, whereas Navy dropped to 2-6. And then we said that it was going to be a tough season for Coach Neil Matalolo. He just has not had the consistency on offense to hold the ball and give his defense much of a shot. And when you go against the Fighting Irish, right, and this year they just really are a juggernaut. Ian Book, the Notre Dame quarterback, threw for 330 yards and 2 touchdowns. And the running back, Dexter Williams, ran for 142 yards and 3 more touchdowns. Notre Dame had a total of 584 yards of total offense, which, boy, it's really hard to do much when a team has over 500 yards of offense. But Navy, to their credit, had 344 yards of total offense on their own. When we look at the scoring, it was pretty much all Notre Dame. They dominated the first half and took a 27-0 lead into the half. In the third quarter, Navy got on the board with a Zach Abey 1-yard touchdown run. And then actually he followed that up with another touchdown run. But in the meantime, the defense just had no answer for Notre Dame on the ground or through the air. But again, Coach Neil Matalolo is going to get back to the drawing board and get Navy ready for their next game because it doesn't get any easier. At all, as they play Cincinnati, who's 7-1 in their next game.
Well said. And then Air Force. I was a little surprised to see that Air Force lost to Boise 38-48.
I tell you, it seems as if the further you go west, the less defense they play, Denny. 48-38, another Mountain West shootout. And in this case, it was the Boise State Broncos who rode the arm of their quarterback, Brett Rippon, who threw 5 touchdown passes in the game. And the Air Force's pass defense just hasn't been up to the task this year. And so it was a valiant effort by the Falcons, as offensively they played pretty well. But I go back to the fact that if you can't get the other team off the field, you're going to be in trouble. Air Force started off in the game after 1. It was 14-7. Air Force was in the game. They tied it up early in the second half and actually went into the half tied at 28. So Air Force was in this game. In the third quarter, Boise pulled away a little bit, and they were up 38-31 after 3. Soon, early in the fourth quarter, they went up 41-31, and that just proved to be the insurmountable lead that they needed. Air Force did pull within 3 to 41-38, but with 3:21 left, John Hightower hauled in a 61-yard pass from Brett Rippon to go up 48-38, and that was the final cushion. So Air Force offensively played a good game, which gives us a little bit of encouragement going into this week's game against Army, but they still dropped to 3-5 overall and 1-5 in the conference.
So this weekend, Navy has a bye, and Army will be beating Air Force at West Point. At least that's my interpretation.
I think you said we'll be meeting Air Force. I think you misspoke.
The issue is that regardless of what the record is going in, these games are standalone games. Each team is going to come in like they were undefeated. They're going to come in to win the game. And that's true for Army Navy. It's true for Army Air Force. It's true for Navy Air Force. So we can speculate, but the answer is this is one time when Quentin and I are going to disagree until the game's over. Then we'll both have to agree with whatever the outcome is.
That's right, Denny. This game is to see who sings second. This game is for Air Force. If they are able to win it, they will win and earn the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. The game is being played in Mikey Stadium in West Point, New York. Army is favored by 7, and I think that's a fair assessment. The Black Knights' offensive efficiency has just been off the charts this year, while Air Force has resorted to throwing the ball a little bit more. And we got to remember, Air Force has gone through 3 quarterbacks this year. Kelvin Hopkins, who started Army early in the year, has returned. And so Army really has the upper hand. Air Force should really be, licking their chops because Army put it on them 21-0 last year out in Colorado Springs. And I think not only did they beat them physically, but they told them they beat them before singing second. I don't think there's a lot of love lost here. And it's going to be a great game. It's going to, as Coach DeBerry used to say, it's going to be some slobber knockers.
Well put. Well
right,
put.
Then.
Thank you, Quentin, for your comments. We'll see which one of us is smirking the most next week. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You have reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. 50 pounds should do it. Let's do 75 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Caldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Peter, an EOD Army vet, asked who you think sent the bombs to the Clintons and others, and if you think that person will get caught.
Well, Peter, I think the FBI is mighty good at tracing those kind of things, and they did catch him, as you know now. Apparently, he was a registered Democrat who went nuts. I don't think there was anything politically motivated here, but clearly the guy was a nut.
Pam, an Air Force vet from Virginia, enjoyed your conversation last week on PTSD. She wants to know if you had PTSD.
Pam, no, I didn't. Like most people, I had a period of dealing with the stress of combat each time I was in it, but like most veterans, I dealt with it and moved on. That's not to put down anyone who suffered from PTSD. It's a real wound, but I didn't have it. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, the other day while cleaning my Glock pistol, I remembered my pistol in Vietnam. I had very little experience with a .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol before arriving in country as a second lieutenant, but I quickly found one and carried it along with my rifle. The pistol was World War II vintage and badly worn. It rattled and jammed so often that I really didn't consider it reliable. When I'd loan it to a trooper, who usually when he was going to go into a tunnel, I warned him it was only good for one shot reliably, but in a tunnel, one shot's good enough, usually. So after my first Vietnam tour, I was assigned to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, where I assumed command of an airborne rifle company. My assigned weapon was, yes, a .45 pistol, and it might well have been the same one I left in Vietnam. It rattled when I fired it. Its parts were so worn. Then the division was ordered to deploy to Vietnam, so we all had to qualify with our weapons. For the life of me, I couldn't hit all those bullseyes with my old rattly weapon. When qualifying with a rifle, the shooter shoots at a silhouette. With a pistol, it was a bullseye target. Well, after about 100 tries, I finally barely qualified. I deployed with my company to Vietnam wearing that old pistol. That's why I only owned revolvers until a couple of years ago when I bought a Glock. I guess I can blame Skip for that, but I do like my Glock.
Well, Colonel, it occurred to me while you were telling this story that you may have had the original 1911 prototype. So it had already been through World War I, World War II, and Korea.
I would believe it. I looked for any marks on it that maybe somebody would sign on. That thing was a piece of junk, and I'm glad the Army got rid of it. But it turned me off to automatics until finally I got to meet Mr. Glock, and that one works for me now. But I keep my revolvers. Okay, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 5 November 1915, an AB-2 flying boat, Lieutenant Commander Henry Mustin made the first underway catapult launch from a ship, USS North Carolina, at Pensacola Bay, Florida.
I wonder if he had to land it. Well, that same day, Marines under Major Smedley Butler captured the stronghold at Fort Capoy in Haiti. Butler had led a reconnaissance force of 26 volunteers in pursuit of a Kakao force that had killed 10 Marines. And like the Kakos in the mountain, he and his men lived for days off the orange groves. For over 100 miles, they followed a trail of peels, estimated how long before the Kakos had passed by the dryness of the peels. A native guide they picked up helped them locate the Kakos' secret fort called Kapoi, deep in a mountain range. Studying the mountaintop fort through field glasses, Butler made out the thick stone walls with enough activity to suggest they were defended by at least a regiment. He decided to return to Cape Hayton for reinforcements and then capture the fort. On the way back, they were ambushed by a force that outnumbered them 20-1. Fortunately, it was a pitch-black night, and Butler was able to save his men by splitting them up to crawl past the Kakao's lines through the high grass. And just before dawn, he reorganized them into three squads of 9 men each, charging from 3 different directions, yelling wildly and firing from the hip. The Kakao's panicked and fled, leaving 75 killed. The only Marine casualty was one man wounded. When he was able to return with reinforcements, spies had alerted the Kakao's, and Butler took a deserted Fort Kapoi without firing a shot. Pretty good Marine, Skip.
Yeah, it reminds me of that story in the Bible, Gideon, when he went into battle. Same type of deal there.
Yeah, but Gideon wasn't a jarhead.
That's true, Colonel. On 5 November 1942, American General Dwight Eisenhower arrived in Africa from Gibraltar to set up his headquarters for Operation Torch, the invasion of French North Africa. American General Doolittle and British Air Marshal Welch would command the air forces. British General Anderson would lead the British First Army, which comprises the main ground force.
And it worked, too. On 5 November 1979, Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini declared the U.S. to be the Great Satan. And the next day, he took over control of the government in Iran.
On 9 November 1989, East German officials opened the Berlin Wall, allowing travel from east to west Berlin. The following day, celebrating Germans began to tear the wall down. One of the ugliest and most infamous symbols of the Cold War was soon reduced to rubble that was quickly snatched up by souvenir hunters. A piece of it stands at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum here in Grand Rapids.
It does, and it is ugly. I saw it when it was up. I was in Berlin at the time, and it was nasty. The fact that people could build a wall like that to keep people separated suggests that the Soviet Union was truly evil. And on 6 November 2004, in an open letter to the Iraqi people, posted on Internet, 26 Saudi Arabian scholars and religious preachers stressed that armed attacks launched by militant Iraqi groups on U.S. troops and their allies in Iraq were, quote, legitimate resistance for Muslims. And we call Saudi Arabia a friend. Well, that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have this week, pal?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, critics say there's no place for an AR-15 among civilians, but a Hawaiian gun owner might beg to differ. When three bandits, at least one of them armed, dressed in hooded sweatshirts, entered his house and forced one of the residents into a bathroom, the homeowner grabbed his modern sporting rifle and fired a round, nearly hitting one of the burglars. It was enough to put them on defensive as they backed out of the house, firing four gunshots on their own on their way out. Although they made off with a reported $3,000, no victims were hurt.
Thanks, Colonel. Whenever people talk about the AR-15, it's important to first define what an AR-15 really is. The media would have you believe it's a machine gun. In fact, many of them are so ignorant, they probably actually believe that themselves. But here's the truth. The AR and AR-15 does not stand for assault rifle. It stands for Armalite, which is the company that first developed the AR-15 back in 1956. A true assault rifle is a machine gun. That's what law enforcement and our military carry. But an AR-15 is just a military-looking semi-automatic rifle or carbine. It looks like a machine gun, but you get only one round fired for each time you press the trigger. The AR-15 firearm is becoming more and more popular for home defense. Let's examine some of the reasons why. One, it boasts a 30-round magazine capacity. If you run out of ammo with an AR-15, then you're either a really poor marksman or your house is about to be overrun by a terrorist cell group. Either way, no one ever came out of a gunfight saying, "Oh man, I just wish I had fewer bullets." That just doesn't happen. And there are many scenarios where you'll need the higher mag capacity, especially in home defense. Home invaders frequently operate in groups. They are organized and they come to your house in teams of 3 to 6 people. And two, the AR-15 is a high-powered rifle. It hits hard and causes massive tissue damage and blood loss, which is what you will need to stop the threat. Many AR bullets travel in excess of 2,500 feet per second, which is about double what most handguns will do. Three, the AR-15 rail system on the fore end will accommodate a host of accessories such as laser sights, high-powered flashlights, holographic sights, and even bipods. And four, the AR-15 is versatile. A handgun is limited to very close range, a matter of feet, but an AR is capable of shooting at much greater distances than handguns. The one big drawback to AR-15s is their size. Because of this, they are largely limited to home defense as they are not readily concealable beneath our clothing. Here's my personal recommendation. At home in your gun safe, you should have a tactical shotgun, an AR-15, and a handgun. That way you're covered in any scenario and you always have a backup gun. Of course, you should take proper training to become proficient in the use of all three types of firearms. This guy in Hawaii did a great job, except for one thing. He missed.
Well, maybe he's at target practice right now.
Maybe.
Troops, listen up. Starting next week, Veterans Day, we're going to honor a deceased military person on every show. Not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, but they do have to have served honorably. Active duty, guard, or reserve. Here's how to nominate someone. Send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service, and I'll read that on the show. And if you send along a picture, we'll include it in our e-newsletter. Send the information to me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom is our Veterans Day show. We'll discuss Veterans Day and the Congressional Medal of Honor Foundation with retired Major General Carl Horst. Then we'll kick off our Honoring Deceased Military program as we honor the late Air Force Sergeant Chadha. Then Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman will discuss the impact on our military of the recent election.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed. In accordance with the U.S. flag code, all Spartan Nash retail stores collect customers' old, worn, faded, and/or frayed American flags. In partnership with local veterans groups, we properly retire the flags we collect, a program we have offered since Veterans Day in 2015.
It's part of Spartan Nash's commitment to patriotism and serving our military heroes and their families.
To find a store near you, visit SpartanNash.com.
For those who have loved ones serving in the military, waiting is a way of life, whether it's by the phone or by the computer. And waiting is not fun, especially when the waiting is for the status of an unexpected injury. Fisher Houses give families of wounded warriors receiving care at military or VA medical centers a home away from home, so they can focus not on waiting, but on being together in a time of need. Learn more at fisherhouse.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Voters all across the country are heading to the polls today to decide the balance of power in Congress between Democrats and Republicans. Voters are reporting long lines, broken machines, and a polling site in Arizona was foreclosed on overnight. That caused a bit of confusion. I had a chance to catch up with these voters earlier today.
And I never seen anything like this before.
And I'll wait as long as it takes to get my vote in, so hopefully everybody else feels the same way.
AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka was asked on Fox Business who the unions are putting their support behind.
We're going to elect both Democrats and Republicans that support worker issues, and we're going to have a better shake at it. Hopefully they'll be able to work together, and if they don't, we'll elect more people.
Yep.
Pipe bomb suspect Cesar Sayak made his first appearance in a federal court in Manhattan today. The judge decided that Sayak will be held without bond. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six.
I've ever had in my life.
This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Buzz Aldrin has filed a lawsuit against two of his children and a former business manager in an effort to retain control of his finances, business affairs, and legacy. The lawsuit alleges that Aldrin is in cognitive decline, but he thinks otherwise.
I'm feeling younger and more energetic, really, than I really have ever been in my life. There's less confusion and more clarity.
Aldrin also talks about how at one time he trusted his two children and former business manager.
I learned at West Point in the military and at NASA to trust people. I trust people too much. I'll admit that.
Aldrin did undergo a competency exam, which he passed with flying colors. The lawsuit also says that his son transferred $500,000 out of Aldrin's account into his son's personal account. Aldrin does say, though, family is still family.
It's the saddest thing that's ever happened in my family. But as I've seen, family is forever, and I will forever be trying to patch it up.
That audio courtesy of ABC News. And finally, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee alleged yesterday that the owner of the restaurant who refused service to his daughter, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and